Come on, I hope you've had a wonderful, wonderful weekend of sunshine. Come on, my wife, she was gone for the week. As Olivia had mentioned, they went to the beach, which is great. And being the amazing woman that I have as my bride, as my wife, as the love of my life, like she leaves the house and she's like, okay, listen, I went shopping, like both fridges are full, freezers are packed. You've got hamburger, you've got chicken, you've got meat, you've got bread. Like she just went down, like amazing as she is. And this is just how we roll in my house. The truth is, we cooked one frozen pizza. As she was gone. You can't make it up. That's true. Me and Ethan and Carter was with us for a little bit. And then we cooked one. Actually, Carter put the frozen pizza in. I think it was actually the day they left or the day after they left. And that was a week ago. And we had one frozen pizza. And I'm talking to Renee. And I'm like, girl, we're going Beef and Barrel. Like, we're just eating out. It's amazing. She's like, Sean, you need to eat that meat. Like, you need to cook. Like, the hamburger's turning brown. Sean, there's a date on that stuff. Like, you gotta go smell it. And if it doesn't kill you, put it on a grill. So I had to like cook the hamburgers, right? E-Man cooked the chicken. And I'm like, and then it comes to the laundry. Like I do iron and I do fold and put clothes away. But we got new washer and dryer. And I'm like, Ethan, you got to show me how to use this washer and dryer. They're new. Like, Dad, they're a couple years old. I thought they were newer than that. But I haven't done laundry in a long time. So I'm like, all right, I got to do my laundry. This is great. Pile it up. Let's get it done. Mom comes home to a spick and span house. Amazing. So I'm doing laundry. Ethan, how do you do the laundry? He's like, Dad, seriously. Like, how do you just, he says, Dad, you turn it on. Here's the power button. Hit that. Go to normal. And then hit start. It's it. This the juice, the soap goes in this. And it's not complicated. It's great. I'm like, I got it. Boom. Hour and 15 minutes later. Ethan. How do you, this true story, I'm not making this up, yesterday. He said, how do you do the dryer? Same way, Dad. Son, can you come here just for a minute, please, right? Like, woo, come here for a sec. And he's like, Dad, you go to, you hit power and then you go normal and then you hit start. It's not complicated. Okay, son, I got it. Like, this is amazing. Like, as Renee goes, man, the wheels fall off. I'm like, I need my wife when she's gone. Like, the car stops, the wheels fall off, things are flipping. It's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. But that was our week. Sun was great, and it was just a tremendous, tremendous week in our region, man. It was awesome, and I truly hope that you've had just a great week. Just a great week. Church, listen, this is the deal. Man, we've got a ton of cards. We've got billboards still up. We got a new billboard going up. We want to fill this house. Man, we want people to come to church. Billboards are great. They're informational. Great pictures of this church, of what happens here. So many people know that we exist, but they have no idea what happens on the inside. We had people walk through this building recently. They're like, are you kidding me? This is what it looks like in here. They have no clue of what is happening within these walls. We can get comfortable with it. We can get used to it. It's amazing. But when people have never been here, they walk through, they're like, this is church? This is what's been going on here in this building for... So the best plan to bring people to church is a personal invite. So, man, I'm encouraging you to invite people to church. Invite your friends. Invite your family. Invite people that you work with. Invite those who are going through it and struggling. Man, there's no better place to be than in the presence of God, in our time of worship and in the Word. Like, invite somebody. Do a personal invite. Grab a bunch of these and take them and then just start inviting people to church. Come on. If you would, come on, we got to get in this. Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28. We have covered, people are like, Sean, you look so nice lately. Like, we're still in the Easter series. So as long as we're in the Easter series, I'm dressing up for Easter. Like, I didn't know if you knew that or not. But this is still Easter time for me. It's Easter service. I might stay like this. My wife digs me like this. And my wife digs me. High five to me. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, here we go. Preach. Let's go. Amen. But we've covered a lot of things. And just one more quick important announcement. And I did this at the end of last service, but I'll just do it now. Church, this is a big week for our school boards here in our region. In the New York. I'm not sure when Pennsylvania votes, but this is a big deal for us in our New York region here for the school boards. If you are in a school district and you have people that are up for a seat and there are seats open, please hear me. There is an attack, and it really more stems from New York on our children in different agendas that are trying to push on our kids in school. And you've read about it, you know about it. It is a transgender agenda, and it's something that comes from the enemy. We don't fight flesh and blood. The enemy is trying to really, really bring destruction to family as God designed family. And it enters into our school, and a lot of that has to do with New York State. A lot of that has to do with a voice that's on the board that will speak language that is either for that and pushes that, or that which is against that. And my encouragement to you is this, is if you are in a school district and you know people who are running for an open seat, I encourage you to email them, or if their phone is available, call them and find out, like, hey, on these different agendas that are concerning to me and my kids and my house, which way are you voting? Because I want to know that, because it matters. And take it from a biblical position and take it from a biblical point of view to protect our kids from our enemy's agenda to try to take out family, to try to destroy marriage as a husband and wife, and try to go right after our kids. He went after marriage, and now he's going after our kids. This is a very real issue. You've heard me talk on this many times because it's a big issue and it's not going anywhere. But we got to get our head out of the sand, and we need to vote. I encourage you to vote, whatever school district you are in. If that seat matters, I'm encouraging you to find out their views and find out if they line up with a biblical view, a true biblical view that God has created male and female, and God has created husband and wife. And this is such a pressing issue right now. And this is an amazing time for us to walk into a place to say, no, my vote matters. I'm not sitting on a couch this time. I'm casting a vote because it really can make a difference. And it really makes a difference in policies in school. So please hear me. Please, please, please do your research this week. Votes are coming up this week. Voting comes up, I believe, on Tuesday. So on the 17th. So in our region in New York, man, take advantage of the opportunity to make a difference, right? Take advantage of the opportunity to make a difference. Can't cast your vote on Wednesday. It's too late. And it'd be a bummer if things went the wrong direction for the safety of our kids. And I stand behind that boldly and firmly. And we have to be strong in this. But come on, let's get into this. Would you agree with that, BC? Would you agree with that, right? Come on. It's important. It's truly, truly important that we stand our ground in protecting our children. Come on. Come on, we've talked about Good Friday. We talked about the amazing sacrifice that Jesus put himself on the cross. We talked about the Easter service and what surrounds our lives due to the resurrection, how that rearranges us. We talked about what it looks like for those 40 days of Jesus restoring specific individuals and having these one-on-one conversations with these individuals, how amazing that was that Jesus restores. And then Mother's Day, we had my mother. Give me some love. Wasn't that amazing? That was amazing. Mom crushed it, short notice. That was of the Lord. My mother just, she crushed it, man. I'm so proud of Mom and just the heritage that God allows me to be a part of. I love my mom and dad, and so pumped they're a part of this work. And God has used them for years and years and years and years in our region. And for her to be on this platform last week, that was special to me. And it was awesome. And then today we're looking at the ascension, man. We're looking at some of his last conversations. We're looking at the charge that Jesus gives us. And then we're looking that he just floats away and says, no worries, the Holy Spirit's coming. Like, I love this, right? This is such a great opportunity. Next week, we're going to have communion. Next week, we're going to look at the other side of this thing, right? Today, Jesus leaves. Next week, we look at the Holy Spirit coming. Next week, we look at our power and our authority when walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, what that really looks like. We're just going in a progression here, right? We're talking about Jesus' last words. We're talking about his charge to us as the church. And we look at his leaving, but he gives us a promise that it's best that he goes so the helper can come. And next week, we dive into Acts 2, and we see where the power of the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, and there's authority with that, and there's power with that. Don't miss that next week. Matthew 28. Come on, Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful. Speak to us in this moment as we get into your word, God. Reveal some things of truth to our lives, God, and help us to walk in a manner that is right with you. Help us to be hungry for your word and speak to us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, look at this. Verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus is speaking here and he says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, listen, there's three verses here. And man, these are just, there's some depth here. There's some goods here. We're going to try to unpack this quickly. I want you to see this because this is the charge, right? This is Jesus, some of his last words. He gathers up the dudes, man. He brings in the brothers and said, listen, guys, huddle up. You need to hear this. This is a charge. And I need you to know what's coming next. I need you to know what you need to do. So this is called the Great Commission. We know it. We've heard it. But are we doing it? Watch this. Verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, look what Jesus says. This is huge. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Like he's speaking to his boy. They've seen the miracles. They've seen the huge miracle of Jesus alive, walking around, speaking, eating. This is Jesus. Okay, wow, resurrected from the dead. This is meant never to die again. This is amazing. Okay, but then Jesus says this. Guys, know this. All authority. The word authority here means all power. Right? Sovereignty. All jurisdiction, all rule, all domain. This is what he tells the disciples. Guys, listen, heaven and on the earth, that's my jurisdiction. I'm in charge. Everything's going to be okay. This is what he's saying. When you understand the depth of when he says, all authority is mine in heaven and on the earth. Listen, I'm a police officer. And police officers has lines of jurisdiction. Like I can do a lot in the village of Allegheny. I can do very little outside the village of Allegheny. There is still some type of authority depending on the level of crime, but there is jurisdiction. And jurisdiction is very important. And you need to know your lines as a cop. You need to know your jurisdiction because if you're outside your jurisdiction, it limits your authority and it limits your power. Jesus is saying here, authority, that means jurisdiction, that means his rule, that means his domain, that means his sovereignty in heaven and on the earth. Church, this is such great news for us because there is no jurisdictional lines that Jesus is held back from, that he says, guys, listen, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. What comfort that must have been in the moment where they know, okay, wow, what's going on next? What's happening? He's resurrected from the dead. He's given us a big charge here. He says, guys, everything's going to be okay. Church, what happens? Here you and I, we have this whole book of truth. You got to remember, the disciples were some of those guys writing this book. They didn't have all this. We have it all for us. And when Jesus says, guys, everything's going to be okay because I'm in charge. No jurisdictional lines for my authority and for my power, that I am supreme and I have all power and I am sovereign and everything's going to be okay. Because then he goes in and gives them the charge, right? He goes in and gives them this importance and this charge. And he says this, right? And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, watch this. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Watch this. Verse 19. Go, baptize. Verse 20, teach. Highlight those. Go, baptize, teach. Go, baptize, teach. He said, listen, this is my charge to you. You need to go, you need to baptize, and you need to teach. Those three surround one major idea in the context of this verse. What are we supposed to do with going, baptizing, and teaching? Disciples. The big idea in these verses is go make disciples. And when you make disciples, you need to baptize those disciples. And when you baptize those disciples, you need to teach those disciples. Go, baptize, and teach. All circumference, one big idea, and that's disciples. Disciple just simply means a follower. One who says, it's not about me, it's about you. One who comes to the place to just simply say, yes, sir, my opinion doesn't matter, yours matters, I follow hard after your word. The disciple is the one who follows the one that is leading. That's a disciple, a follower of Christ. Can I ask you this, please? Are you a disciple of Christ? Not a disciple of your parents, not a disciple of Believer's Chapel, not a disciple of good works, not a disciple of religion, but I'm saying a follower of Jesus Christ. Believer's Chapel does not make you a Christian. A born-again disciple of Jesus Christ, more than going to McDonald's, makes you a Big Mac. Truly. We could think that we are okay because we go to church. We can think, Believer's Chapel, yes, I love Believer's Chapel. I know God is doing a great work here. Families are being transformed and changed. Because you're a part of BC doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you come to a place to repent? Do you recognize, even singing Dead Man today, do you recognize that the wages of sin is death? But the free gift of God is eternal life. How is that? It's through his grace, undeserved and unearned. God, your grace is enough for me. I get it. Sin within myself, I am deserving of death. And that is this eternal separation from you for all of eternity in a place called hell. I deserve that. But God, because of your grace, and because Jesus Christ, you put yourself, it's not Believer's Chapel, it's not religion, it's not good works, it's not your tithe, it's not your offering. And listen, it's Jesus. And when you come to a place to say, it's our responsibility to go and make disciples and make followers, those are those who understand it is about Jesus. Are you a disciple of Christ? Have you repented from your sin? Have you come to him on his terms? Repent, believe, surrender. I need to recognize sin is the issue. And I have to understand that Jesus is the answer. And that in between is me surrendering to him. Sin is there. The answer's already been given. But it's up to you to decide. Have you come to a place to know Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you asked for forgiveness of your sins? Have you repented from sin? Changed your mind towards sin? I get it. Sin causes death. I want to return. I want to repent from sin. Amen. I have to believe in Jesus. Jesus, you're the only answer. There is no other way but you. You're it. And I confess that you're a Lord, which means I surrender. Your ways, not my ways. I'm all in. It's yes, sir. Church, from that surrender point out, it's yes, sir. Are you there? Because this passage speaks to you and I making people disciples. Go make disciples. When you've made disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have a baptism service coming up here in the summertime. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you know that you're a follower of him, man, I would encourage you, if you have not yet been baptized as a Christian, not as a baby, I'm saying as a Christian, if you've not yet been baptized as a believer, when you've made the decision for Jesus, then I would encourage you to be baptized. And then watch what it says. Verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. This word observe, it means teaching them to obey. Watch this, teaching them to guard what I've commanded you. And I love it because another part of this is teaching them to preserve what I've commanded you. Church, we have the responsibility to go, to baptize, and to teach this. We have the responsibility to teach the gospel. We have the responsibility to be unashamed about the truth. And then when we teach, there is this preserving aspect to our teaching of that observing, of that obeying, of that keeping over that, keeping watch over it, not twisting it to make it fit our agenda. Please be very careful on those who will twist it that fits their agenda. That doesn't fit here in Jesus' charge to the disciples. And I love this because a great thought as you read this, you're like, okay, Jesus, is this for me personally? Sean, you are to go into all the nations. Why? I don't know if I can do that. Like we can look at this and say, okay, what is the depth of this passage? What is the depth of this? Jesus, who are you speaking to? Church, when you unpack this and you get the big picture of what this really looks like, you see that he is speaking to the church as a whole, but yet even as a whole, it speaks to me and it speaks to you, but it's not a command that you and I are supposed to go to Africa. Sean, listen, you're supposed to go make disciples of all nations. Hey, you haven't been to Africa yet. Yeah, but God, I've been to India. Yeah, but that's not all the nations. You haven't been to Iraq yet. Yeah, but God, I went to Scotland. That was a fun trip, but it was a VBS trip. Yeah, but you haven't gone to, and we could go down a long list. It's not all the nations. Sean hasn't held all the nations. So God, how am I supposed to fulfill the Great Commission if this is specifically just for me as an individual? You got to see that it's not. This is God, this is Jesus speaking in the big picture of what the charge is to the church. And we are a part of the church as a sliver of the church as a whole. And we are called to go and make disciples, and we are charged to baptize, and we are charged to hold the ground to the truth of God's word and not add to it and not take away from it, but to preserve it, to guard it, to watch it, to observe it, to obey it. Mark chapter 16, Jesus is given the commission, the great commission in Mark, and Mark writes it in this, where Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I love this. When you break down the word gospel, we have to know the depth of what this is. Because you and I are called, again, not to go into all the world. We are the sliver of where we live that we are called to preach the gospel. And please hear me, the gospel isn't your testimony. The gospel isn't Believer's Chapel. As amazing as I believe this church is because of the people of this church, as amazing as I believe Kingdom Kid is because of the children or what is happening in the Bible teaching on the other side of this wall, that's not the gospel. We have to be very careful that we actually preach the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. The gospel is the atonement of Christ on a cross, that my sin has been dealt with. The gospel is that reconciliation, that Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, man has been reconciled to God. There is that justification piece. There is that atonement by the blood. Like, the gospel is Jesus Christ. Yes, your testimony is amazing, but we want this werewolf to Jesus testimony. If we don't have that, we think, well, I can't give the gospel because I don't have a testimony. No, you're missing it. Your testimony is important, but your testimony is not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. The gospel is not Believer's Chapel. The gospel is Jesus Christ and the atonement by his blood and the very beautiful work of the cross, that I am now sanctified and saved because of the beautiful work of the blood of Jesus. Church, how much are we out there making disciples and preaching the gospel? How many meetings are you having with people to share the gospel? How many coffee dates are you having with people you love, that you love dearly, that you want them to be saved, and you give them the gospel? We're not just here to talk about the good weather and the green grass. People need Jesus. Church, people need Jesus. Now, we live for the opportunity. We try to build up relationship with people for that moment. Man, for that moment that we get to sit down and have coffee, for that moment we get to take a walk, and everything leads up. My whole point is to be able to share the gospel with somebody, because it's about Jesus. It's not about church. It's about Jesus. We can't mix that up. And I say that because God's allowed us to have an amazing work here. God's allowing us to have a great impact on our region. This is a special place. But I never want this church to be confused that it's such a great place that we miss the gospel. It's not about church. It's not about BC. It's always about Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. Your points of your contacts with people is one day, God, give me an opportunity. I'm doing all of this work ahead of time. God, I'm planting seed. I'm building relationship. Maybe there's a day. God, I need a day that I can just share the gospel and to share Jesus and the good work of the cross to people who are dying and lost and hurting and broken. That's what Jesus charged the guys. And you and I have that charge today. To share the gospel. Come on, Luke chapter 24. And we see this as Jesus huddles up with his guys. And this is his final charge, man. This is his final words. And this is the ascension, man. This is when Jesus has walked on the earth. You see this at the end of Luke, and we're gonna pick it up in Acts 1. We'll get rolling here. Turn to Luke 24, and then Acts 1. Both written by Luke. Luke closes his book, his gospel. He closes it in Luke 24 with Jesus leaving and his ascension. He opens Acts 1 with the same, with Jesus' ascension. And I love this because there's so much to when Jesus left. There's so much set up to this. Because Jesus was having these conversations with his guys. Guys, listen, I'm leaving. Where are you going? Well, where I go, you can't come. Well, we want to come. Well, you can't, but we want to. Well, you can't. Well, where are you going? Well, where I'm going, you can't come. Well, we want to go with you. What do you mean? You're right here. We'll walk with you. Yeah, but you can't. You could imagine where a little bit of confusion may have set in. We want to go with you. You can't. I'm leaving. And there's amazing, amazing conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. With his chosen 11, from John 13 to John 16, and then he held a prayer meeting in John 17. All of it is one continuous conversation. It's the Last Supper and then beyond, and it's all one conversation. And in this conversation, many times he references his leaving. And then Psalm 16 says, and then sorrow entered their heart. What do you mean you're leaving? Then you back up to John 14. And Jesus says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, why would he say that? Because in chapter 13, you gotta remember, we're the ones who added chapters and verses, right? So read it as a whole. When you go back a little bit, he's referencing his leaving. And their hearts became troubled. Have you ever experienced someone that you dearly love departing? And I do think of our military families here in the church when I'm preparing this. It came to my heart about people that we dearly love in this church, that their sons or their daughters, and we have a few, that went in the military just recently. You think about from a parent's heart or even your son or your daughter's heart where it's just like, okay, I gotta go. And there is sorrow and there's sadness, yet you're proud of them, so proud of them, but you're like, ha, I don't know what's gonna happen. And man, I know you need to go. I don't know if I want you to go, but I know you need to go and I'm pushing you out the door. But maybe in that you can relate to the sorrow and the sadness. He's like, I gotta go. Well, we don't want you to go. No, I gotta go, but we wanna come with you. It can't happen. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. For he says, I'm leaving, but in my Father's house are many mansions. And then he says something in John 14 is amazing in this passage. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Because I will come back for you. You know what Jesus is saying there? Guys, I'm not playing head games. Guys, if it wasn't like this, I tell you. I'm leaving because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back again. For in my Father's house, there's a lot of rooms and there's a lot of mansions. And where I go, there'll be a day that you come. Now, John 16, he says, listen, it is to your advantage that I go. Like, what? Our hearts are breaking. We can't come with you. We don't even know where you're going. After you put yourself in their shoes, after all that we've seen you do, we know that you have the words of eternal life. Man, we've seen things we've never seen. We've heard teaching we've never heard. This is amazing. We know you to be all powerful. You can do anything. It's incredible. God, we've walked with Jesus. We've walked with you. We see, what could you possibly mean? That it's to our advantage that you're not here. Think about it. Well, I'm going to send you a helper. That's the promise of the Father. And next week we get into that promise. Why would he say it's better that I go? Because he sends the Holy Spirit to us. But look at this in Luke 24, unpacking all of that right here. Luke 24, verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father to be upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. This word power, it means strength. We'll get into this next week. It means the ability to act. It means to have authority. It means to be strong. You will be clothed with this power. You'll just wear it. Strength, ability, authority. So he starts to juice him up a little bit with this, and then this happens. This is Luke 24:50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up. Watch this, carried up into heaven. And they worship, and after they worship him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. Come on, look at Acts chapter 1, please. Again, same author, this is Luke. And he goes into a little deeper picture of the ascension. Here we see Jesus, man, he gives the charge. Big idea is to go make disciples. That's the big idea. That's the charge. And then exactly as he said, he had to leave. It's amazing to me that sometimes you think they still didn't get it. Look at Acts 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, he wrote Luke, the Gospel of Luke, to an individual as a chronological order of things that Jesus said and did, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. I love this. This is Luke now speaking and writing Acts. Until the day that he was taken up to heaven, and after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles from whom he had chosen. To these, he also presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them for over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. I love that. Speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is referenced his royal power. The kingdom of God is that dominion. It's that sovereignty. It's that rule. Like this is what he says. Listen, this is what Luke is writing. He said, listen, he was speaking of things concerning sovereignty, concerning his dominion, concerning his authority, concerning the royal power. Watch this. And then gathering them together. I love this. Huddle up. This is Jesus. Huddle up. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. That's the Holy Spirit. And he said, You heard of from me. That's John 14, 15, and 16. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, this is where I don't know if they really got it, right? Lord, at this time, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel? Like, is this, okay, you're alive? Woo, 40 days, amazing. Is this our time? Is this when you, that dominion, that authority, we know that Israel's God's chosen people, we know that we're yours. Like, is this, are you here now to bring us back on top? Are we now here to rule? He's like, guys. I'm speaking of the kingdom of God. And the guys are like, is this the time? We've been waiting for this. Woo, let's go, Jesus. Come on. No, guys, I'm leaving. This is great. And then he says to them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Hey, guys, just slow down. It will be in the perfect timing and perfect season of God. It'll be in his authority. And it will be in his power. And it will be in his might. But, this is a huge, huge reference here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Next week we speak of this. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth, that's us. The gospel spreads. And after he said these things, he was lifted up. Watch this. He was lifted up, and while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. So here Jesus is speaking. And then as he's speaking, he raises his hand. Luke tells us in Luke 24, he raises his hand and he begins to bless them. Get the picture. As the Bible says, while he was blessing them, he was being raised up. This is an amazing picture if you see for what it is. Jesus got his crew. Guys, huddle up. I'm out. And he raises his hands and he's praying a blessing over them. Watch this. Blessing means to speak good. He's blessing them. Hands raised. And as he is speaking, and as he is speaking good over them, he's being raised up. And these dudes are like, ooh, wow. What, like, wow. He's going into the clouds and they're looking and they're staring. The Bible says they were intently looking and gazing. Wow. Woo, you see this? What, like, could you imagine that? Hands up. Jesus is praying. Jesus is speaking good over them. Jesus is blessing them. And then all of a sudden, whoop, there he goes. They're like, oh, oh, wow. And then as they're intent, the Bible says they're intently gazing. Two dudes who weren't just there are there. And they begin to speak. She didn't hear me. Get saved, Siri, whatever. Okay, she said okay. That's funny. I said get saved, she said okay. She's saved now, it's amazing. But could you imagine you're intently looking up and then all of a sudden two dudes that weren't there before who were angels, they begin to speak. You imagine how high you would jump. You imagine like you thought you were going to be up in the clouds when they're just looking, all of a sudden there's two guys that weren't just there a second ago. All of a sudden there's two angels there. They're like, hey, what are you looking at? Woo! Yeah, but Jesus just, why are you staring up in the sky? I know that was amazing. What do you mean? Why? In the same way that he left. He's going to return. Listen, angels don't speak unless they're speaking on behalf of the Lord. Hey guys, know this. He had to leave. But he's coming back. He's coming back. In the same way that you saw him leave, Jesus Christ is coming back. around, if you could just bow your heads. Church, we are charged by the Lord to be a part, to be that sliver of the church as a whole, to go and make disciples of all nations, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus, to baptize as many as we possibly can who are disciples, and to teach them to obey the scripture, and to know that there will be a day that Jesus will return. And in the medium of that, Jesus left, there'll be a day that he returned, and it was to our advantage, me and you, that he had to go, because he has sent you and I the Holy Spirit, that we have great power, might, strength, an ability to act, and the authority that is in his name because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Church, people need Jesus. Please hear me. How many people do you know that they just need Jesus? People need truth. People need to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, Thomas asks him in this whole conversation, well, where are you going? How are we going to know the way? Jesus says, you'll know the way. Thomas is like, really? Like, how are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to know the way? Jesus is like, guys, it's me. Guys, it's me. I'm the way. You've seen it. You've walked with me. You've talked with me. You've heard me. You've seen the works. You've seen me on the cross. I'm the way. Now you imagine, the Bible says that they remembered all of these things after Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected. So when Jesus, in that moment of John 14, he's having this conversation with Thomas. This is before the cross. Thomas is like, okay, great. How are we supposed to know the way? He's like, hey, Thomas, dude, I'm the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Nobody. You know what it means when Jesus says nobody? That means nobody gets to the Father except through me. All of this was brought back to them after Jesus was raised from the dead. They put all the pieces together. He said, Jesus is the answer. Believers Chapel, people need Jesus. Our community needs Jesus. Lord, we just come to you in this moment. And I just feel like we just need to pray for our area, God, that people would come to know you in such a real way. Jesus, people would be calling on your name even today and in this week and in the coming months, God, people would call on your name, people we love dearly, people, God, that we care about, people that we work with, people that we see day in and day out, our neighbors. And I just feel like we just need to pray for people, God, that they would come to know you, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, the blinders would be taken off, the gospel would penetrate. And God, that we would not be ashamed of the good news. Jesus, 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 you save. You save then and you save now. Lord, I pray for our region that we would be a people that would take this charge to heart. We would look to your ascension and say, that's good, because I walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, thank you. God, thank you. Lord, I ask that you would bless our region. Lord, I ask that we would all be evangelists, that we would evangelize and that we would speak gospel. Every one of us are supposed to speak the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would move in our area in a powerful way. Lord, hear us, please. Open doors for us, God. to get the gospel out. God, I pray for every person in this church that they would begin to see their contact. Every contact they have, it matters, it counts, God. For the sake of the gospel for that person. People need to be saved. People need to be saved. The people would turn to you. Lord, we do ask that you would protect our schools and protect our kids, that we would be salt and light and that we would be the difference makers. God, protect us. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. We walk in a great discretion, God, and discretion, God, it allows us to see an evil plan. It allows us to see an evil motive. God, we need discretion. I need discretion. God, that we as a church and as people of you would walk in discretion to identify an evil plan, to see motive. Open our eyes. People need you. People need to get saved. And I pray that we walk in a way to reveal truth to people. And by your Spirit, you would bring the increase. We will plant and we will water. But God, you will do the work. And you will bring the increase, and you will open eyes. And God, you will bring conviction by your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction of sin. And God, by your Spirit, there will be conviction. And I pray that people would answer the call to salvation. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, we love you. Come on, with your heads bowed. I just ask you again, we already hit it, but I just feel like we need to hit it again. Do you know Jesus? Do you truly, are you born again? Do you know Christ? God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. It was never his plan for you to go to hell. That's never God's plan. He created hell for demon and his angels. But then man blew it and man sinned. And sin can't exist in the presence of God and his holiness. So he had to send his son to deal with that issue. And Jesus did. He loves you. Come to Christ today. Turn away from your sin. Admit sin equals death. Admit that you're a sinner. Say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, you rose again and you sit at the right hand of the Father. I surrender. You know if the Spirit of God has been pulling at your spirit. You know it, you know it, you know it. And it's just a day like this that says it's time. It's just simply time to surrender. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. Save me. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, if you need prayer for any reason, if you could stand to your feet, please. Katie's just going to close us out. Yes. And she's just going to sing. If you need prayer for any reason, man, you want to talk more about Jesus, we'd love to talk about Jesus. Just come on up front, man. We'll have some people up here to pray with you, talk Jesus with you. If you need to be healed, we believe that God can heal. We'll anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, pray over you, and God is going to do a continuous work. Come on, don't miss next week. Be here next Sunday as we talk about that power and that authority that we have because the Holy Spirit reigns and dwells within us. I am so glad to see you. Church, I love you. I'm glad to see you today. Come on, invite somebody. We're going to have a powerhouse time of communion next week and a great service. Come on, amen.